Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God we have a gracious God. You've got a Bible with you. You're going to start with the book of Acts. Got a lovely piece of scripture tonight. The Philippian jailer, Acts 16. It's a very well-known piece of scripture. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Praise the Lord. So we carrying on from where Johnny preached last week. Paul and Silas have gone in to Philippi. They've preached and they've been beaten with rods. They've been took and beat badly. They ain't had a little whippy stick up the legs. They've been beat badly. They would have been in a state and then thrown into prison as well. And this is where we find it. Paul and Silas are in prison after being beaten and locked up for what? Preaching the gospel. And that is something that definitely happens in other countries today. People get locked up and beat for preaching the gospel. I know the boys are going out, Nino and Addy, one of our elders. He's only a young fella. He can speak Romanes, and Nino can speak Romanes, and they're going to Moldova with a man called Rene, who I believe a modern day apostle in Light and Life Missions, one of our men from Light and Life. Rene, his name? Sanoletto, his name is. And they're going out to Moldova, which ain't far from Russia, they're going out there to preach the gospel and do a Bible college. And I know out there, there's a lot of persecution goes on towards the Christians. And they're very like Russian people. In Russia, it's illegal to convert people or baptise people. You get caught baptising people, you get 5 years. Making converts, you get 5 years. So it's happening all over the country today. In China, people get beat. In communist China, people get beat regularly for preaching the gospel. And look, we're here freely. We can drive. But these are now drive down here, come and talk about the Lord all night long. Hallelujah. But that day will come. That day will come, and it'll test all of us. But that day is going to come here. And we'll have to make a choice whether we decide to be quiet and be secret Christians. And there is no such thing as a secret Christian. There's just Christians. That's it. Or whether we're going to carry on preaching the gospel for the Lord. So here we come to verse 25, chapter 16 of Acts, verse 25. It says, but at midnight, so they're in prison, been locked in the inner dungeon. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awoke from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and to all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with his household. Amen. Let's all pray. Can you pray for me? Let's ask the Lord and ministers to us tonight for his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sorry, I'm just reading a bit of scripture before. I just want to correct myself just for the sake of the tape. Paul and Silas was preaching the gospel, but the reason why they're locked up is because they've done a good thing. The girl's demon possessed, they've prayed for her, and the girl's been delivered of a demon. And because the people have lost their way of earning money, because they used to earn a lot of money from the girl, she was a slave girl, she was owned by these people, they've brung Paul and Silas before the magistrates and said, "We've lost our way of earning money because they've delivered her of the demon, and now she can't tell the future." That's the reason they're locked up. They was preaching the gospel, but the main reason they're locked up is because they've upset people because they've delivered the girl. So put yourself in Paul and Silas's shoes. They've done a good thing. They've cast a demon out of a young girl. They've been beaten. They're bloodied. They're bruised. They're placed in a dark dungeon. In Roman prisons, there was an outer court where prison cells faced the courtyard and natural light could come in. And then there was an inner dungeon which was underneath, where there was no natural light or air could get in until the doors was opened that led down to the dungeon. So it had been complete darkness. This is where they've been placed, in the most inner part, the darkest part of the prison, a dungeon. And also they've been put in shackles. It says their feet were shackled, probably not with chains, probably with a piece of wood, like a big log, which opened up, and then they closed and locked with a lock around their legs. So they're in a tidy state. They ain't had a smack in the mouth. They've been given a good hiding. Then they've been locked up. They've been persecuted, hollered and screamed at, and then chained in complete and utter darkness in the middle of prison. And it says that they was praying and praising. They was praying and praising. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners was listening to them. Now, I can't imagine. I think probably the last thing that had been on my mind, if that had been me, would have been praying and praising. I'd have probably been thinking to myself, I'm too sore from the hiding I've just took. Do you know what I mean? I'm too sore from the hiding I've just took. I'm sick because I've been locked up now as well. Not only have I been dashed, I'm locked up. It doesn't say that they was cursing God. It doesn't say that they regretted serving God. It doesn't say that they thought God had abandoned them. And it would have been easy to say or think them things in this situation. And maybe we do. Maybe we think like that. Maybe in our hardships, maybe we think to ourselves, I'm going to go out, tell people about the love of Jesus. Oh, Dordy, I've been locked up. I've gone and got involved and tried to do something good and got dashed. Been persecuted, hollered and screamed at. And maybe in them situations, maybe us, maybe me, maybe not you, maybe me, I think to myself, Lord, why have you abandoned me? Why have you allowed me to go through this? Maybe I'll regret thinking, I wish I never even went. Wish I never even bothered getting involved. It'd be easy to say them things. But just like Paul and Silas, we have to see the bigger picture. Yes, they have the same Spirit of God that we have. Yes, they have the same God we have. Sometimes we think about the God that's in the book of Acts and the goddess today, and we think it's someone different. It's the same God, the same Saviour, the same Holy Spirit. These men just see a bigger picture. We have to learn to look at things differently, the way that God looks at them, and see the circumstance, see the hope, see the plan, see the opportunity. There is a bigger picture. Just like it was in that prison. It says they was praying and praising God, and the other prisoners was listening to them. I can guarantee you they'd never met two men like Paul and Silas. I can guarantee you this is the truth. And listen, I've done meetings in prisons myself. I've never been locked up. There are loads of things I should have got locked up over. I've never been locked up for anything. But I've done prisons and seen boys who I know go in the island. There's more travellers in Elmley than there is outside. There's more travellers in there than there is outside. And boys who I know, my own age, cried. See that? Drowned it. Weeping and crying. I'd give every shilling back I've ever had if I could just go to your baby's birthday next week. And me there with them as well. In the middle of the meeting. Can't help myself. Thinking, dear old boy. They're all right all the time, the cop in. As soon as it goes wrong, we go, oh Lord, please. All I'm trying to say to you is, that's bad enough. Being in them places today. Imagine being there. I can imagine the tears and the crying there could have been of the night. The pain that men had gone through, being whipped and beaten and punished for their crimes. And here they hear these two men singing and praying. Paul and Silas see the bigger picture. People was watching, people listened. A testimony is a powerful thing. A testimony in a situation is a powerful thing. And what I'm trying to say is that we are human. Who would have blamed? I'm not saying Paul and Silas never fought. Does your arm hurt? Or a tetra if my head hurts? Or a tetra if my leg hurts? I'd imagine they were sore, wouldn't they? But in the middle of the night, at the darkest hour, that's what that means, they was praying, singing hymns to the Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, in my times of trouble, please let me be like Paul and Silas. Let me be like Paul and Silas, Lord. Let me just be that bit extra. Let me just trust in you that bit more. Let me just pray and praise you in the song, and sing your praises. Let me smile, Lord, and be joyful, because there is still good in this world, even after the rubbish. Hallelujah. There was a mighty work of God going on in their lives around them. We have to surrender to his will. And while we do, we must pray and praise. Brothers and sisters, let that be a testimony to us. When I read that, that's my brothers in the Lord. Let that be a testimony to us, to me, to you. That, Lord, I know what to do in that situation. I know what I strive for in that situation. Lord, give me that same spirit, that same comfort that you gave them in that time. They was thinking about the opportunity. I'd have been thinking about jail, wouldn't you? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to say in the morning to these mushies when they jail down and get myself out of this? They was surrendered to the will of the Lord. We've come here, we've done what you've asked us, and it ain't been a cracker. Ain't been a bed of roses. I thought this was all going to be cushy. No, you've got dashed. All of that and screamed at, dashed, through into prison. Alright, Lord. Alright, Lord. And more than anything, that's what I want to be like. I want to be able to lift my hands and say, yes, Lord, alright, fair enough. Alright. That is for me, Lord. Yes, alright, okay. Your will be done, Lord, not mine. It says in verse 26 that suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors was open, and everyone's chains fell loose. So they're in the prison. I should imagine only the worstest chavvies get put in the inner prison, the most dangerous and the most likely of jailing or escaping. It says everyone's prison doors was open and everyone's chains fell off. There was obviously a supernatural event, because it happened to all of them. Everyone was affected by it, and only the prison. If that had been me, think about it, put yourself in their shoes. You've been rucked to death by a complete town, honoured and screamed at, dragged before a judge, again, dashed, beat, threw in the prison. While you're in the prison, she's falling down on top of you, there's an earthquake. I'll be like, Lord, take me home now. I'm ready, Jesus. Please, Lord, I can't take this no more. I can't take this no more. God is able, we must remember, that God is able to do supernatural things. But we don't always see it as God's provision. And what I'm trying to mean, imagine being in that earthquake at that time. I wouldn't have seen this as God's provision. What I might have done is thought, Kaka, holding the wall, shag, the walls fell down, gel, get out of here, get back to Jerusalem. Around all these pagans all the time. God is able to do supernatural things in the midst of a very physical and mental hardship sometimes. But he doesn't always do it in the way that we expect. He delivered Peter. Peter was in prison a few chapters before. And the Bible says that God sent an angel and took him out from amongst all the guards, opened the door, took him out and led him outside. Past all the guards. What a beautiful thing that would be. God's giving these the same opportunity, the same deliverance. There's going to be a way out of this situation in a minute. But he's doing it for an earthquake. Sometimes God sends angels that are supernatural to help you through out of your situations. Sometimes God brings you out with earthquakes. Do you understand that tonight? It's not always in the way that we expect, that's what I mean. It's not always in the way that we think, Lord, deliver me, and let it be all nice and easy, take me round it, I don't really want to go through none of that, don't have to suffer or see anything. Sometimes we get delivered, God is going to lead these out in a minute, there's going to be a testimony here, there's people going to be won, lives changed, households. But they've got to go through that earthquake first. We must remember the Lord is able. He just sometimes don't always do it the way we think. It says, verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do no harm to yourself, do no harm. We are all here. Now, not only is this a supernatural thing, but what we failed to realise as well is that prison was filled with other men who could have had an opportunity to escape, and even they didn't gel. So whatever Paul and Silas have said or done, but everyone remained where they was, whether by through fear or something that Paul and Silas have said or done, but they know there's something different about these two men in this place. And as I'm reading this story, I'm thinking, Lord, what are these two men? They're only just two men. Now the Bible says Elijah was a man like me and you, a man who could make it rain. What he's trying to say is Elijah was just a man with a great God. We're only men and women, we have a great God. And we look at people and we say, I want to be like that, I want to be like that. No, God says, you can be like that, you can be greater than that. If we would only surrender, if we only believe, if we'd only step out and have that faith. There's these two men. And everyone else in the prison has stayed where they are. No one's jailed. To be in charge of a Roman prison like this man was a very highly esteemed job. It was a good position, highly paid, a good standing amongst the people. It was a proper badge of honour. And it was very, very well paid. But it came also with a high price. If you took the job in that prison, to be like the warden, the head of that prison. That's why he was in the prison when it happened. He was there, not far from them, because Paul called out when he woke up, and he could hear Paul. He stayed right where they was to keep an eye on them, because he knew if any of them escaped, the Roman law was, whatever they was going to get, the prison warden got. And he thought everyone had gone. So he thought, I've got to do everyone's sentence, take everyone's hiding, and maybe take death if someone had been given death. That's why he was going to kill himself. The price was, for him, too high. Because he would have had to have stood on and took whatever they was going to give. You can have that job and you'll be well paid. But anyone goes, anyone gels, you've got to have what they was going to have. That was the deal. This is what's going on here. He was expecting to take their place. That's why he was going to take his own life. Because he thought the prisoner escaped and he was going to cop it from the Romans. But Paul cried out and saved him. I want to tell you something wonderful. I just want to stop it there for a second. Tell you something wonderful about the jailer. It was this man's job not only to look after the prisoners, but if the time ever come that someone got found guilty and they got given, say, 20 years hard labour, they'd be written out a contract from the Romans, like a type of contract, a letter, a certificate, to say that they've been found guilty of a crime and they have to pay their debt to society. That's where you get that saying from, pay your debt to society. They owe the debt and they have to pay it off with manual labour or whatever. And at the end of that 20 years, after they'd finished it, they'd be written out on that document at the bottom, be written out in Greek, it'd be written out a word, I think it's tetelestai. It means paid in full. Paid in full. So they'd take that document wherever they was at, because they usually had brands as well to say that he was prisoners, and say, listen, I've not escaped, I've got my paperwork, I can prove I'm a free man. I've paid my debts to society. I'm a Roman citizen, I've paid my debt, I owe nothing. Because the debt's been paid in full. That same word there for paid in full, at the bottom of them certificates, that Philippian jailer would have given out, is the same word Jesus used when he was on the cross and he said, it is finished. When he gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished. Tetelestai. It meant paid in full. It means Jim Baker's debt to God paid in full when Jesus died for him. Bill Arnold's debt, what you owe to the Lord. Caroline, your debt. Your debt. Everyone's debt. My debt. Joseph Anderson's debt was paid in full when Jesus Christ hung upon that cross. That is the grace of the Lord. And that is why I can't do anything to earn my salvation. I can only just be thankful and say, Lord, I'm going to try my best and serve you the best I can for the rest of my life. We can't earn our way. We've got no way of paying God back. Got no way. If you serve for a million years, you've got no way of paying God back. So we just say, Lord, I accept that you've paid my debt in full. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you know why I know that is? Because the Bible says, my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
All of us. It would have been easy for Paul and Silas to think that God had provided another way for them. I definitely would have thought like that. I'm in a prison, I'm locked up. Lord, please get me out of this place. The door opens, I'd have thought, shag, get out. Travellers are just like that, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, listen, loads of times, and don't ask me why, but loads of times before I was a Christian, I was with the boys, not doing a thing wrong. Walking down the town, someone on a gel, what's everyone doing? Flat out, as hard as they can go, don't know what they're running for, they're running. All of a big group down the road. Enough of us to take over the town, trashed to death, all running for our lives. Don't even know why. You can imagine that it's saying a travelling man, and they travelling people that's thinking, get me out of here. They stayed. They stayed. And everyone else stayed with them. They stayed there amongst whatever it was. Maybe there was rubble laid everywhere. Maybe it was beat. I don't know. But the door, there was such an earthquake, all the doors fell open, and all the chains, all the bonds fell off of them. They was all free. It would have been easy for Paul and Silas to think that God had provided another miraculous jailbreak, like he did with Peter. But I think Paul, being a Roman citizen, probably knowing the jailer's fate and what would happen to him if they jailed, if they escaped, decided to stay. And let me tell you something what that is. That is the bigger picture. And what I'm trying to talk about, that is love. That's true love. That compelled Paul and Silas to stay and put the well-being of another man above their own discomfort and pain. That's love, brothers and sisters.
That's true love. To say, I'm going to stay here and put myself in a worse position that I might benefit someone else. And I'm telling you now, that's what Christianity is about. Because if you don't love nobody, listen to what I'm saying to you. If you ain't got a love for people, you'll never preach the gospel. If you ain't got a love for people, you'll never come and put these chairs out and pack them away. If you ain't got love for people and you feel like God's got a call upon your life but you don't love people, you'll never be a pastor or an evangelist or a preacher. We can't be Christians unless we love one another. The evidence that the world has been given to know that we belong to God, the Bible says, how will they know that you are my children, that you have love for one another? That we have love for one another. How am I going to go out and beg for souls and preach the gospel to people without love? That I have no care about their destination or where they go to. Why am I going to think about me brothers and sisters and pray for me brothers and sisters? And I'm nothing unique. I pray for you at this church every single night and everyone in it. That's not unique. I don't get no badges for that and I don't deserve any. That's because I'm a Christian. And you lay upon my heart. And I should lay upon your heart, me and my family. That's because we're Christians, because we love for one another. And I don't know what's going on over there, so I pray for what I can see here. It's about love. It's about having love for one another. And the Bible says, putting other people before ourselves. Putting one another before ourselves. Without love, we're never going to do nothing for the Lord. Love is the driving force behind everything. In fact, the Bible says without love, it all means nothing. Whether I speak with the tongues of angels or of men. Though I give everything I own to the poor, though that my body should be burned, though I should be burned at the stake for my faith, without love it means nothing.
If you don't love people, you're never going to serve, because you'll only think of yourself and how it affects you. Let the love of God take over your heart. Let it start on your own first. Don't run away loving other people if you don't love your own wife or children. Let it start on your own home first. In Jerusalem, the Bible says. And out of the Judea, then to the outermost parts of the world. Let it start on your own home first. Let it be loving your own home first. Let it be your wife and children. What good would it be to me if I led 10,000 people to the Lord and my children went well and they didn't know about Jesus? I failed as a father, and I failed as a Christian father if I ain't told my children about the love of Jesus Christ and told my children all the things that God has done for them. Let it start in your own first, but love. You know the people that ain't your cup of tea, and you know they are, they're not really your cup of tea. Come on, speak the truth. Love them. Love them. Be gracious. Know what we're all about. You ain't got to be an idiot, have you? You know what we're all about, but I love them anyway. People, I wouldn't go to that church, so and so goes there. I've had that said many, many times. Probably when I ain't there, they say, I won't go to that church because James is there. They're saying other people about me. Then they're saying to me about someone else. There's always going to be someone up here. Say, yeah, I'll go though. I love them. Now when they're being really awkward and you feel like Dickie in with his swelled head, keep on again. Love them. Know your brothers and sisters love them because we're one in the body of Christ. And the arm don't hate the leg, does it? It needs the leg, and the leg needs the arm.
We love one another. Brothers and sisters, if you ain't got love for people, pray that God gives you love for people, because your jeers are never going to get out of the seat unless God puts love in your heart to go, whether it's to the people in the church or the people outside the church. Pray that the Lord give me a love like you had a love. Give me a compassion like you had a compassion, Lord. Let me go. Let me lower myself. Let me do what Paul and Silas did. And kept themselves in pain and discomfort for the sake of another man's life. That's a life worth living. That's a love worth having. So much so that man knew. He runs straight to them, didn't he? Don't hurt yourself, they said. We're here. All of us are here. He runs straight out. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. I brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and all your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who was in his house. This man never said, "What's going on? What's happening with the earth?" Can you imagine being in an earthquake? I should imagine being the only thing you'd talk about for the next 12 months. Not one mention of the earthquake. Running, trembling. I think that man knew what they'd done. Or at least knew, had some sort of conviction upon his own life. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There was no understanding in the Roman culture of salvation. Enlightenment, it was all about make yourself better by thinking better. Enlightening yourself about learning and education. There was no understanding of redemption or salvation amongst these people. But yet this man, he must have heard about Paul and Silas. They've been causing a commotion in this town. They've been preaching the gospel. They've delivered a girl with a demon in her. They've been beaten, locked up. Then they're singing hymns. He was within earshot of that. He must have heard it, one of the people listening. And then for whatever sort of men are these, brothers and sisters, we are nothing but rubbish. But with the Holy Spirit in us, let the world look at us and say, "What sort of people are these? What sort of people are these that they still cry and they love still? What sort of people are these? They go for hardships and they still love, they still serve. They must be saying like that church. Because they all still keep going. Because we go for Jesus. Let them know that it's Jesus that we go for. That we have something worth going for. Something worth living for. These two men shine a light. The man fell down trembling. What must I do to be saved? Don't you say, "What can I do to have what you've got?" Believe on the Lord Jesus. Not come follow us. Not join our club. Not try this new fad. Read this new book. Get this new phone. Have this new look. Believe on the Lord Jesus. When people look at you, let them not desire your brain or your pocket or your body. Let them desire the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let the question be, "Lord, what can I do to have what you've got?" Believe upon the Lord Jesus. We can be so concerned with what we think of ourselves, or worse still, what other people think of us. Either our brain want to be a clever chap, a fighting chap, a money man, a dealing man, whatever the women would say, whatever in respect to the same thing the women, you understand what I'm saying, isn't this? That we forget that we have something so wonderful. And if people could see it, they'd run and tremble and fall to their knees. But sometimes we've got a big beat for people to see it. Sometimes we've got to be broke for people to see it. Sometimes we've got to be thrown into the darkness for people to see it. Sometimes we've got to be in an earthquake for people to see it. And I just want to say, "Lord, let me stand on the mountaintop and let everyone see it from there." I'm afraid to say, that's not how things work. That's not how God does things. How they lived in that moment. And that was just a moment. This wasn't over days, this was over hours this happened. How they lived in that moment, that man got saved, then his household. And a lot of people say, oh, his household got saved, they was all baptised. That's one of the scriptures Catholics use for baptising children. But it doesn't say there was no babies there, it just says in his household. They wouldn't have baptised babies, because babies can't understand repentance or salvation. But they, how they lived in that moment affected this man in such a way that he said, what must I do to be saved? How can I have what you have? Here we see the fruit of a testimony and a surrendered life in such a way that others want to know Jesus because of us. It says in 33, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptised. Now when they had brought them into the house, they set food before them, and they rejoiced, having believed in God with his household. We know it's straight away, the Philippian jailer, as soon as he got saved, what did he do? He served. He got them out, and he healed their stripes. They had stripes across their back. They was left with marks and wounds on them, bloody and bruised. And he healed their stripes. And he set food before them and fed them. He served them. And let me tell you something. There's something a little bit deeper in there I want you to understand. A lot of Christians wonder what their calling is. What can I do for God? I can't pray. I don't think I can preach. You never know until you try. For the brothers, that is, not for the sisters. I can't preach, I can't lead, there's so many women making the tea, we ain't thing, people's packing the chair. I can't really drive, I can't go witnessing. I don't know what my place is in the Lord. This man got saved, and straight away, he got people who was hurting, and he helped them heal. That's a great work. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. To bring healing at that time when it's needed. What could he do? Look round and thought, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll deal with what's in front of me. They're dashed right when they need help. I'll help them heal. What are they hungry and thirsty? I'll feed them. You know, to encourage your brothers and sisters. You know, to send someone a scripture or a daily bread. You know, to spend time and read the Bible to your children, to people who are downhearted, and say, the Lord's given me a scripture. I've been praying for you today, and the Lord's given me a scripture for you, and I want to read it to you. And this week says, you know, things like that encourage. What happens when you feed people? It puts strength back in them. When you're poor as a rook, and you're clamming, and someone gives you food, it puts strength back in you. Brothers and sisters, I want to be more like him. Them simple things that we overlook, concentrate on them. Do them, and everything else will follow. Do them, and everything else will follow. This story, listen, they met two men. These people in this story have met two men, like they've never ever met in their life. And them two men had the same God we have, same Holy Spirit we have, and the same message. And if it's God's will, God can put us through the same thing to bring about the same outcome, bring salvation. But there has to be love, hallelujah. We have to have love for people. Let's pray. Lord, I do praise you, my God, and I glorify your wonderful name. Lord, I thank you, my God, for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, I lift your name on high. And I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, give us love in our heart, my Lord, for one another.
Yes.
Lord, for our own families, Lord. The bridges that's been burnt and broken, Lord, let us rebuild them, Lord, through love. According to your will, my God, I ask. If there's doors open, my Lord, Lord, open doors through love, my God, let them be open, my God. Let us love the lost, my God. Let's have a love for the lost to see them saved, my God. To see lives change, Lord. Let's desire to see people healed, my God. And men and women go on and follow you, my God. Let the word of God, let's have a love for the word, my God. Let's have a love for you, my God. That you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And we pray all these things, my God, in and through the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.